Good day. I'm Lori McGinley, joined by Mary Agnes Carey of Kaiser Health News. And this is Health on the Hill, a conversation about activity on Capitol Hill regarding healthcare policy and legislation. Mary Agnes, this is going to be a very busy week once again on Capitol Hill on healthcare. Could you start and tell us a little bit about what's going on in the House?
In the House, one of the three committees that has jurisdiction over health care, the Energy and Commerce Committee, is going to have 3 days of hearings about the House Democratic health care proposal, which came out late Friday. So we'll be watching those hearings. I think the other committees of jurisdiction, which are Education and Labor and Ways and Means, will probably have hearings after the break. And so that process is going along in the House. In the Senate, there's two things that are ongoing. The Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee, also known as the HELP Committee, continues its markup of the bill. And in the Finance Committee, Max Baucus, who's the chairman of that committee, continues to work with the ranking Republican, Charles Grassley of Iowa, and other members of the committee to try to get a consensus package to get a legislation that they can release and then mark up.
Tell us a little bit about the House package, which just came out on Friday.
It has all the elements that we've been discussing for weeks. It has an employer mandate and an individual mandate. There are some exemptions and some subsidies there to help employers and individuals get coverage. It has a very strong government-run public plan, which a lot of members of the Democratic Party want to have choice for people all over the country. President Obama has expressed his support for a public plan. That is in there. There's a health insurance exchange to help individuals and small businesses try to find coverage. There's an expansion of the Medicaid program to help more children and individuals and childless adults, get coverage under Medicaid. So it's a very comprehensive package of benefits.
So in the Senate, the Finance Committee and the HELP Committees will continue their work, and obviously cost is the biggest issue before them. Can you tell us a little bit about what the Finance Committee might be doing to try to get a handle around this giant cost issue?
Chances are they're going to scale back the size of the bill. A very preliminary estimate came out last week from the Congressional Budget Office about the package, and there was some concern about the cost. So you'll look at, for example, the subsidy level for individuals may get scaled back. The Medicaid expansion may get scaled back. Instead of a broader public plan as we see in the House, in the Senate, they may go for this co-op approach, which would put the control of the co-ops out of the federal government and onto the state and regional level. So I think in finance, you'll be looking at all the elements that are in the HELP bill and the finance package, and they're trying to scale that back to get to $1 trillion over the next decade.
What should we expect after the July 4th recess?
In the Senate, for example, we may finally see a markup in the Senate Finance Committee. As we had discussed previously, the package for finance was expected last week. A markup was scheduled for this week. And they ran into some trouble getting consensus on a package and also getting scores, as you mentioned, from the Congressional Budget Office. Max Baucus has said we'll mark up when we're ready. And so if it doesn't happen before the July 4th break, that would certainly happen in the Senate after July 4th. And we would anticipate in the Senate the HELP bill, the finance bill, if they both come or emerge from their committees, being put into one product, which would be on the Senate floor in July. And in the House, we'll see movement in those three committees after the July 4th break and House action in July as well, with the thought that both chambers would pass their packages before the August break.
Over the weekend, a deal surfaced involving the pharmaceutical industry, and they agreed to make some price concessions so that seniors would not have to pay as much for their drugs. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Right. And this is contingent, again, on a health reform package passing this year. But what the drug makers have decided to do is to help seniors cover costs in this coverage gap of the Medicare drug benefit, also known as the donut hole. They have promised to spend $80 billion of concessions over the next decade to help seniors and other Medicare beneficiaries meet 50%, half of the cost of the drug name, which of course, brand name, rather, drugs in that donut hole. So that's a very significant development in this whole debate. And so that's the thought, that if they can help seniors and other Medicare beneficiaries in the coverage gap, which occurs when beneficiaries have to pay a certain amount and there's a gap in coverage and they have previously had to put this all out of their pocket before catastrophic coverage kicks in. So that is what this drug industry agreement speaks to.
With all the conflict on the Hill between the political parties, President Obama and Democrats in Congress are now coming under some pressure to go it alone, to just go ahead and try to forge Democrat-only bills. But some Democrats think that would be a mistake, to not try to continue working on a bipartisan approach. Where are we headed on that, and what are the pros and cons of those approaches?
I think that the paradox is exactly how you explained it. There are some Democrats that want the biggest, broadest package possible, whether it is a very comprehensive, sweeping public plan, a comprehensive, sweeping expansion of Medicaid, subsidies for individuals, or tax credits for businesses to expand coverage as much as possible. It costs a lot of money, and that's where they run into trouble with moderate Democrats and some Republicans. On the other side of the coin, you could look to discussions, comments from Max Baucus, who's head of the Finance Committee, and Charles Grassley, again, who's his ranking Republican. Their argument is we need strong bipartisan support now to get this package passed, because it's not only important now to have the support, but as we, because we're changing a significant share of the economy, but also in the years to come, as issues come up, as the package unfolds, that bipartisan support, if you had it on record, could help both Democrats and Republicans as they look at this health care program and may want to make some changes. The argument is also that it's a political benefit for the Democrats if they make concessions now to Republicans to get a package passed. That will help them in the midterm elections and the next presidential election as well.
Do you think at this point the chances are more likely that this will be a Democratic-only bill or a bipartisan approach in the end, or is it just too soon to tell?
I think in the House you'll have more Democratic support, far less Republican support. I think in the Senate it's still a moving target. Max Baucus very much wants to have Republicans on that bill, and that's what he's aiming for.
Thank you very much, Mary Agnes. And thank you for joining us.